This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
The 12-member jury decided not to press charges against Officer Darren Wilson.
Stop assassinating black people!
Townhouse smashed up. Police guys on fire.
You need to stop throwing objects at the police.
One of the tear gas canisters on the street. Dispersing right now.
Fighting for Idaho.
This is 5 million people being given amnesty that Congress rejected, that the American people have rejected.
Fighting for you.
It's just such a great time of year to really be grateful for what we have and to celebrate what we've accomplished over the year and also to do things for others.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Hope you're having a good week. It's about to get better. Tony Olson joining us, author of Spin Game, and a local guy that is getting national acclaim for this book. Tony, good to have you with us.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
You know, we take a look at the media overload that happens, the inundation, not information, the propaganda that permeates from the politically correct Politburo. How do people fight just the overwhelming avalanche of misinformation?
Well, I think it starts with listening to dependable news sources like your radio station is one of only a handful that I know of, even nationally, that really is good about providing solid, accurate information. Too many of the media outlets are more about serving their agenda than they are about getting actual facts to the people. So I think it really starts with having a good, dependable place to get your information.
Have we lost our critical thinking skills in America today?
I'm not sure that we've lost our critical thinking skills. I think that we've become apathetic. I think not enough people have really understood just how critical what's happening in our country is and the problems that could arise over the next, you know, between now and 2016. I actually wrote this book for the 2016 election to get people educated between now and then because, you know, I was one of those, Kevin. I was one of those people that chose to remain blissfully ignorant for a long time until I really got to understand what that ignorance was going to cost us as a nation if everybody did that.
Well, Tony, I take a look at this, and it seems like you call somebody a name, it sticks. There's no purpose. So in writing this book, is this a solution to some of the slanderous or libelous or misinformation labels that conservatives get?
Oh, I think it is a solution. It brings out the facts, the true facts, not the facts you get from the left, but the actual facts. And I think if we're all together, it's always been my contention that if we're all given the same set of facts, and they're actual facts, that 80% of us are going to arrive at a consensus and be more likely to arrive at a solution. So all I'm trying to do is educate people, get them out there, and help them to understand the nature of these issues, give them the facts, and literally give them the ammo to become a political warrior.
All right. Why do we need to be a political warrior? I mean, we all get along. We're all having a good time. The left is right. The right is wrong. Why arm yourself? Why not just blissfully continue to slumber in the matrix, if you will, sir?
Well, it's about our future. It's about our kids and our grandkids.
Is it too late?
I don't think it is. Obviously, this last election, we made some headway.
Mm-hmm.
But now we've got to do something with it. We've given ourselves a little bit more power, but now we have to use that power to make the world a little bit better place. And so if you take for example, the Democrats have gone, the talking points are
the new facts, if you will.
Yeah, they are.
They don't really substantiate anything. They just label people.
They do. And if you Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, once said, you know, if you say something enough, people believe it. And that's kind of what's happened. You take the talking points from the left, they're very consistent. They may be totally absurd, but they're very consistent. And as such, people tend to believe them. And the conservatives have done a very poor job of articulating their message. So I think if we can play their game, if you will, and get our set of talking points and actually have facts to back them up, I think we're going to be unbeatable. But we have to have the facts. We have to articulate it. We have to be consistent. We have to be clear with our message. But I think I definitely think that there's a bright future ahead for us.
What about this quote in the beginning of your book, "The hottest places in hell are reserved for those in the time of moral crisis maintain their neutrality," from Dante's Inferno? What do you mean by that?
Well, what I meant by that is you've got two choices in the world. You can sit back and watch things happen, or you can do everything within your power to try and make it go the way you want it to go. And I think for too long we've been too apathetic as a nation, and we've sat back and we've just let things happen, and we're not paying attention. And I think it's our duty, I think it's our responsibility, if we see something that we don't agree with, if we see something that's harming our country, don't rely on other people to fix that. Every one of us has a place that we can contribute and help fix that.
Tony Olson with us, the author of Spin Game, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. And let's take a look at your book. You've got political identity, climate change, the race card, gun control, immigration, minimum wage, unemployment, income equality, abortion, the war on women, talking points, climate change, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. Where did you come up with the list of these things?
Well, I actually had a bigger list. I had to chop it down.
Really?
I just got tired of the misrepresentations that were being made by the left, and I finally said, I've got to take a stand. I can't sit back here and let conservatives be labeled the way they're being labeled. We aren't the racists. We aren't the homophobes. We're not the party of a war on women.
Right.
And so I wanted that message not only to get out the facts about those issues, but also to be able to provide a set of talking points that people can go and learn and be consistent and maybe influence that neighbor or that friend or that relative and say, you know what, it's all about critical thinking. It's not about our agenda. It's about the facts. And the facts support the conservative position. So if we get the facts out there, we've done our job. And that's all I'm trying to do is just get the facts out there to people.
Right. Easier said than done in this media society that we live in today. How big does the media dominate us?
Well, I think it's the dominant factor right now. And the problem is, but you still have millions of people that are out there that refuse to watch TV news. They refuse to read print news. They don't listen to radio news because they're getting conflicting information. They don't understand the issues. And that's part of what I'm trying to do is to say, look, if you're educated about this, it'll be more enjoyable. It'll make more sense. You'll know what to do with it. It's hard when you don't understand or you're getting conflicting information to have the ability to participate, you know, become part of the public discourse. And so that's all that I was really trying to do with this book is to just inform people of the facts and give them some ammo to go out and fight the fight.
Let's take a look at the race card that is played quite a bit. Conservatives are this, Tea Parties are that. And it goes unchallenged, yet you have Rihanna saying, well, the best part of being at the White House is having a black president. You have Charlie Rangel calling the Tea Party folks crackers and racist and calling them a term of endearment. You have Michelle Obama saying, well, that if you vote a certain way, you should be able to get fried chicken. Anyone else, it would be racist, bigoted comments. It seems if it's a one-sided equation, and how can you have equality? How can you treat people with respect, Tony, if you have that race card there?
You can't. You've got to get rid of the race card, and you've got to hit it head on. And this is something that has really deteriorated since Barack Obama was elected. They did prior to his election in 2008, NBC News, Wall Street Journal, showed a poll that 79% of whites and 63% of blacks held a favorable opinion of race relations. That same poll, taken 4.5 years after his election, found that those with a favorable opinion had dropped to 52% among whites and 38% among blacks. That was a drop of 27 points and 25 points, respectively. If you're coming in to change the nation's opinion of race relations, they've gone about it the entire wrong way. Too much has been allowed, too much hypocrisy, too much has been allowed to get through. I think we were actually on a path. We were doing pretty well with regard to race relations. But now it's given free rein, and I don't agree with it. And what's even worse is that the people who are probably the most diverse are the ones that are getting labeled as the racists.
Right. And so how do you combat that when people say, well, you can't say this, you can't say that? It's not what people say. It's a position where you can have a star, Rihanna, who says, hey, black president. Okay, you have a show on TV, blackness. Brad Paisley makes a quip about whiteness at the Country Music Awards, and people go crazy. It's just nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we bring people back together? Because I believe that America is not a racist country. I mean, electing the president not once but twice seemed to prove that.
And I agree. I don't think we're a racist country. I think you have your factions. You know, for the longest time, as you know, Idaho was labeled as a racist state. Because basically you had a dozen people in northern Idaho that were white supremacists, and as such, everybody in the state of Idaho was painted with that broad brush that said, okay, we're all racist. Yet I've been all over the country, and I've lived in a number of different states, and Idaho is the most racially friendly place I have ever lived. Yet we still had that stigma because that's what how the news presented Idaho. And so I think that it's going to come down to not giving the Al Sharptons and not giving the race baiters the news time. And you know they will. I mean, you know,
right.
It's a...
You look at MSNBC with, you know, Al Sharpton. He's got his own show.
Mm-hmm.
So every night, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, and fortunately not a lot of people are watching it, but still.
Still some, right. And you know, it has an impact. So arming yourself with the information, you not only wrote this book, Spin Game, but you've done some footnotes on it. Why was it important for you to footnote this?
Well, I didn't want somebody to come back and say, you know, this is an opinion piece.
Right.
I wanted people to know that, hey, I spent a year and a half researching this. I spent over 1,500 hours of research on this. And
you care about the issues that much? 1,500 hours?
Yes, I do.
Oof.
Because somebody's got to care about it. The book, there wasn't a book like this out there.
Right.
And so I thought, well, the only way it's going to get out there, I guess, is if I write it. So
there you have it. More coming up with our friend Tony Olson, author of Spin Game. Coming up, we'll tell you how to get it and talk more about some of the issues that are permeating throughout the press and, of course, on the airwaves. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
The 12-member jury decided not to press charges against Officer Darren Wilson.
It's shame on the city of the St. Louis!
House smashed up. Police cars on fire.
Something wrong with the world today.
Shame on the state of Missouri.
I'm black and I'm scared to be black in America.
A line of fire trucks and police officers that goes for at least a mile.
Seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't his.
The KKK have taken off their uniforms of the white sheep and put on blue uniforms.
We live in on the air.
We just had a big volley. There's another round that just went out of the tear gas.
Black men can just get shot down like door.
Stop this madness.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
And welcome back, 580 KIDO. Don't forget 580KIDO.com. Wonderful, wonderful blogs. And if you miss any part of this program, and we don't want you to do that, but hey, we understand that you have a life. 580KIDO.com, the podcast. And there's a little secret there with the podcast, but I don't want to reveal it because we want you to listen to the radio. 85 years of serving our great Treasure Valley, 580KIDO. Kevin Miller with you. Tony Olson with us, the author of Spin Game. And okay, so you have this vision that there are a lot of things that are going unchallenged. The Republicans are racist. Climate change is running wild. Bad news, vilification. So you come up with these answers. You spend over 1,500 hours coming up with this book. Do you ever think, man, I agree with it. It's a great cause, but how am I going to get it out there?
I did. I hoped it kind of morphed as we went. It started, and I wanted to get some facts out there, and the more I wrote, the better it seemed to get. The more I found, the more rabbit holes I went down and found, got deeper and deeper into the information. And I thought I knew a lot about these issues to the point of writing a book, but once I started doing the research, it was overwhelming. There's so much more out there. I would say probably 90% of this book most people have never heard.
You write about it in your book on page 79 that if Barack Obama had been white, he never would have even won a primary, the primary, let alone the presidency. What do you mean?
Well, the fact that he got a pass because he was African-American, and if you had taken a white candidate, they would have vetted him a lot more deeply. They would have seen those. They would have brought out the associations with the Weather Underground and Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. They would have called out the looked more critically at his associations with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, and just the overall vetting process. And also they would have seen that, hey, here's a guy that really, black or white, he doesn't have the qualifications to be the president. He doesn't have the time in service. He doesn't have the political background. He doesn't have the foreign relations background. You know, he might be a heck of a guy, but the problem is he wasn't qualified to be president. And now we're seeing the effects of that because we were so careless on our vetting process.
Well, what do you make of that people just fell in love with the president or Senator Obama at the time, the Weather Underground, Reverend Wright, everything else? Has there ever been a candidate that has been more coddled than the president?
I don't think so, and I think people's hearts were in the right places. I don't, you know, I mean, I think people wanted to advance race relations in this country, even though at the time they weren't too bad, but they wanted them to be better.
Right.
And, you know, certainly, you know, I think that was a valid concern. I think, like I say, I think their hearts were in the right places. Unfortunately, you have to vote with your head, not with your heart. And I think that's the problem. I think in 2008, we all voted with our hearts rather than with our heads.
Well, here's the skinny on this. I think you hit the nail on the head that we've heard so much about America's this, America's that. Most of us wanted to vote for this guy to prove that America looks at someone on their character, their accomplishments, as opposed to their race. And I was sucked in for a moment, but the Reverend Wright thing changed it for me. I go, I can't vote for that guy. I can't vote for him. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people took stock in Reverend Wright and social justice and just some of the stuff that he was preaching. I mean, this is the guy that brought him to God.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if you spend 20 years in a church, it's hard for you to say, no, I don't agree with some of the things that Reverend Wright says. I mean, you spent 20 years in his church. You obviously pretty much agree with what he says. The other thing is he spent 9 years of his childhood with Frank Marshall Davis, who was very, very active in the Communist Party. I can't imagine spending 9 years with anybody and not picking up some of that propaganda.
Well, let's talk more about the propaganda here that Spin Game tries to get through. By the way, if people want to get your book, what can they do?
It's on Amazon, both the print version and in Kindle. And most of your bookstores should have it or can get it, can order it for you. And I'll be doing some book signings around coming up here. This weekend I'll be at Weezer Classic Candy, who is a proud sponsor of KIDO Radio. And on December 13th, I will be at Hastings and Meridian on the 13th, that Saturday, from 5 to 9. And then on the 20th, I'll be at Hastings and Nampa from 4 to 9.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we were running down the entire list. You have just a website people can check it out?
Absolutely. They can go to www.spingame.net.
Okay, what's the biggest lie perpetrated that that you're seeking to overcome in Spin Game, Tony? Is it climate change? Is it the race card? Is it the cult of President Obama? What would you think is number one that, if left unchallenged, we're going to have a very different world than what we have today?
I think you have a combination of things. I can't really put it into one specific subject, but I think, you know, let's take, for example, climate change. You look at all of the regulations and the increasing costs of energy that we're having to accept because of these climate change moratoriums. And climate change, man-made climate change, is a farce. It isn't, there's no such, well, there, what little degree there is of climate change caused by man, if I could give you an example, you take Bronco Stadium, and that's your atmosphere. They claim that, you know, that increase in carbon dioxide promotes this the global warming effect, and that in essence causes your global warming. But if you take the entire, if you look at Bronco Stadium and look at that as your atmosphere, if you take a business card and put it out on Bronco Stadium, that's man's contribution to the atmosphere. We have literally no significant contribution to weather changes or global warming or anything like that.
Now, where's your research that backs that up?
Oh, boy.
just remember, short attention spans.
Well, and I try to keep, I do a lot of in the book, I keep a lot of subchapters in there, short, sweet, here's how we deal with this. But I've gone everywhere. I've gone through science journals. I've gone through all kinds of reports. And some of this is basic. Some of this is very, very basic stuff, but it's stuff that's not being relayed or stuff that you might not, you know, have had otherwise access to for, you know, they claim, first of all, that carbon dioxide buildup causes global warming. Well, 900,000 years of ice core samples have proven that that the increase in carbon dioxide follows global warming. It does not cause global warming. So that one sentence pretty well shoots their narrative out of the saddle.
All right, more coming up with Tony Olson. Kevin Miller of the Morning, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And welcome back. Kevin Miller with you here. Hope you're having a great day. Phone number is 580-5436, kevin@kidoam.com. Our guest, Tony Olson, author of Spin Game, as we're taking a look at just some of the, some of the interesting topics that you hear about in the press, but you never get the other side of the story. Tony, let's go to Chapter 6, page 126, the minimum wage. We hear all the time that we need to raise the minimum wage. We got to make sure that people have a livable wage.
Well, it's not a living wage. It's a learning wage to start with. And the minimum wage has been increased 24 times in history. And it has always had the same result. It has always cost people jobs. You know, and the people of the country are not for a minimum wage. And that's one of the things I think that where you get poll numbers and you get the media, and the media can dictate how people think about this. Most people know that it's a learning wage. Most people know that this is high school students and that. But you read the headlines and you listen to the media, and they tell you that, 73% of the people support a minimum wage increase. But what they don't tell you in those polls is how the questions were asked. When those polls were taken, they asked the question, would you support a minimum wage increase to, this is a Gallup poll I'm referring to here, would you support a minimum wage increase to $9 per hour? Well, of course you get over 70% that say, yeah, we'd support that. But then you have Reason Root poll came in and asked that very same question, the identical question. They got the identical results. Then they asked the same respondents, would you vote for a minimum wage increase if you knew that it would cost people jobs? And they didn't even say how many jobs. They didn't say that an increase from $7.25 an hour to $10.10 an hour would result in almost a million lost jobs. They just said, would you support it if it resulted in lost jobs? At that point, it went all the way down to 38% that supported it. And so, you know, people aren't dumb, and that's a prime example of, if you get the information in people's hands and you get all the information in, I think they'll make the right decisions. And that's what I'm trying to do, is get the right information in their hands.
Yeah, but it doesn't play to the emotional grip that we have, does it? I mean, we have the suffering. We have this. Of course, there was suffering in Afghanistan that has continued, and we don't report on that. We don't report on what happened when we left Iraq. Again, it seems to be your job, Tony, is to overcome the incredible press bias that influences the world we live in.
Oh, and I'm sure, and I know I've got an uphill battle on this, so I'm just hoping that, you know, folks will get behind the book and read it for what it is. You know, you're talking about, you know, the press talks about, you know, getting back to minimum wage. They talk about this 30-year-old minimum wage guy who's supporting a family, and he's the only person in the family there, and he's got to have this wage that can support his family. That narrative that they're talking about is less than 1% of the U.S. workforce. It's 0.8% of the U.S. workforce. So to say that this is a crisis, but, you know, as Eric Holder once said, never let a good crisis go to waste, and especially if you can create one.
What do you make of Holder?
I'm glad he's gone. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what to... You know, the jury's out on the replacement. I don't know. I just want somebody who is neutral, and I know in this day and age that's going to be next to impossible. It would be wonderful if Loretta Lynch was a neutral person and could come in and look at this objectively, and not be pressured to give in to some of the agendas that exposed by the left. But it's going to, you know. Realistically, I think, yeah, she's probably going to end up being another yes person.
This president, much more militant, it seems, than any Democrat we've seen in office.
Yes, absolutely. Well, he's militant for his agendas.
Yes.
When it comes to a lot of the issues that are the foreign policy issues and so forth that affect the American people, he seems to be, if anything, much more passive than most of our presidents.
Well, and we see the debacle in the Middle East, but, you know, he doesn't back down. He doesn't negotiate like Bill Clinton did. And, again, I think it because he believes that he has the high ground with these ideas. Let's talk a little bit more about Spin Game. Kevin Miller in the morning here as we move along. Tony Olson with us here. As we talk about some other issues here, what about the illegals? What about the immigration? We keep hearing that the president's going to do this, that, and the other with the illegals, and I'm thinking to myself, we don't have enough jobs here for regular Americans.
You don't. Actually, the illegal immigrants are, you know, aside from bringing in and taking U.S. jobs, they're bringing in third world diseases. I've got, let me cite a couple of things for you. For example, if amnesty is implemented, the average benefits and services to former illegal immigrant households would increase to $43,900 with taxes paid of only about $16,000 per year. That creates a net fiscal deficit of $27,900 per household. We can't sustain that. The average illegal immigrant under this amnesty plan would receive about $582,000 more in benefits and services over their lifetime than they pay in taxes. And that's based on 2010 dollars.
So historically, why have we, at least one political party and the other as well, why have we embraced the illegals? Why do we want to legalize them when, in fact, they come from countries where governments are run by you know, dictators. They're run by people that you know, don't value the individual liberty and freedom. It's a top down thing. Those folks come in and bring that type of government to America. They want the culture of dependency, and yet you have the Democrats. Obviously, they want them in for more voters. But you have the Republicans saying, "Well, these people are going to vote for us." Tony, it doesn't make sense.
No, they're not. If it came down to it, and keep in mind that the immigrants that are here. Immigration is actually way down their list of priorities. They're like everybody else. They're worried about jobs and that here, and that's the legal immigrants and even some of the illegal immigrants. But if we will never get that voting base. I think it's absurd to think that if we dumb our party down to be just like the Democrats that we're going to get Democrat votes. No, we have to be the opposition party. We have to bring something new to the table. Why would they change their vote if we're providing the same thing that's been there all along? We need to get the facts out there and say, look, you know, yes, we might need some workers, down the road. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are being amiss that are being propagated through the media. One is that these people are coming here for jobs. Well, according to one of the surveys, and this was done by an actual immigration survey. I was just looking to see if I could find it here.
We're rolling here. Let's just keep going.
But only 5% of the workers that are coming to America are coming because they didn't have a job in Mexico. 95% of them had a job in Mexico that they were leaving. So this isn't about coming to get jobs. This is about coming to get benefits.
Well, do you think in coming here they're going to take over the country?
Well, I think
you have places where people don't speak English. If you're a Spanish speaker, you're good to go. And I'm thinking, well, whose country is it?
Absolutely. And the people say, well, we're a nation of immigrants. Well, the immigrants that came here in the 1920s and the 1910s, they came with skills. They brought skills to our country that we needed here in this country. Most of the people that are coming across right now are unskilled. And the other problem that you have is that with the immigrants that are coming now, they have no desire to acclimate to American culture. They want to maintain their respective cultures in America rather than, assimilating into our culture. And that's what America is about. And we're not going to be America. We have an American culture. Why would we want to ruin it? We're going to diversify to the point where America doesn't have a culture.
More coming up with Tony Olson, author of Spin Game, Exposing Political Lies and Tactics. And we'll talk about the tactics coming up of 2016, now that 2014 is over. Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580 KIDO. Remember, you can always reach us, Kevin Miller on Facebook, Twitter, Kevin Miller Show. Of course, Kevin Miller Show on Facebook as well, at 580 KIDO. And just the endless assortment of social media platforms, why we just can't get enough of you. Hopefully, you'll never get enough of us. Kevin Miller, 580.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Once again, Kevin Miller with you. Tony Olson, author of Spin Game, Exposing Political Lies and Tactics. So let's talk a little bit about 2016. How do you see it playing out?
If we do our job, I see it playing out very well. I don't see a contender on the left that can go head-to-head with any one of a number of candidates that we've got on the Republican side, even Hillary. Hillary's losing a lot of gas in a hurry, and, you know, I think by the time that the 2016 election rolls around, I'm not even sure Hillary's going to be your candidate. So, and by the same token, we have a stable of candidates, whether you're talking Republicans, conservatives, Tea Party, there's a lot of good candidates out there that would easily go head-to-head with anybody they put up.
Yeah, but the problem here is they're Republican in name only. You have a lot of establishment folks that have access to the big money, and then the conservatives are left out. How do you prevent that from happening?
You do it by education. You do it by making people understand what the ramifications are if they go with the conservative platform versus the Democratic platform. There's a lot of benefits, and all we got to do is get that word out.
Tony, let's talk about how to do that when, again, the high ground. Now, you've got your book out there. You've got your social media platforms. But what else? What about the young people? How do you make them develop those critical thinking skills that really aren't pumped up enough these days as they were when we were kids?
I think that especially over the last few months, I think the kids in America have gotten a little bit they're paying a little bit more attention. They're seeing that, hey, this stuff isn't making sense. You know, the American people aren't stupid. They see what's happening, and they see what the things that are going on with Obamacare, and they see, what's happening, the downfalls with immigration, and they start seeing these diseases going around, and they start, you know, starting to pay attention where these are coming from, and it just happens to correlate with an influx of kids from South America, and these happen to be South American diseases, and so people are starting to put two and two together. I mean, the kids now are painted as a bunch of kids who do nothing but spend their time playing video games, but When it comes down to it, these are the same kids that pretty soon are going to be getting out of college that need a job. And I think more and more they're hearing from their older brothers, their older siblings, saying, yeah, I got my college degree, but I don't have a job now. There's nowhere for me to go. You have over 11 million people out there that are unemployed that actually have a degree in one of the STEM disciplines, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And, you know, when you have 11.4 million of those people that can't even find a job, that's pretty scary. But that message needs to resonate and say, hey, we're all about the economy. We're about building jobs. Here's what we can do to help this. I think a lot of people want to be critical thinkers, but I think that they, you know, just don't have the resources at their hands to become critical thinkers in their mind.
And that's where Spin Game comes in, exposing political lies and tactics. You can get this at any bookstore in the Treasure Valley and on Amazon. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, Tony, we do appreciate anything else in the last 20 seconds that you'd like to share with us.
No, thank you very much for having me on, Kevin, and I really appreciate what you folks do here at this radio station, and thank you for being good Americans.
All right, Tony Olson, Spin Game, Exposing Political Lies and Tactics. Check it out today. Talk about a great Christmas gift. Arm your friends and family, folks. You heard it from Kevin. KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, we'll take a look at the events going on at Fox News, Fox News Radio, and always stay tuned with us. Everything you need to know before you get to work, plus your ability to yap about it. That's what we're all about here. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Serving Emmett.